Welcome back to the Divorce Solutions Podcast, everyone. I'm Jamie West from West Pro Mediation and Consulting, along with Tracy Miller, who's a fabulous legal mind, a brilliant legal mind, and she's also a mediator and an expert in alternative dispute resolution. Tracy, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks. That intro was awesome. That's better than the last time. You didn't say anything about being veteran slash old, so good for you.
Hey, I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to freshen things up here. Yeah, you know, we're still in the newer part of the year, so we just got to keep things fresh and crisp, kind of like the air is outside these days. Oh. It is. Anyway, listen, we've got, Tracy, we got a great guest we're going to introduce everybody to in a second. One of the things you and I talk about a lot on the podcast is how people need to think when they're going through separation and divorce. And often our thinking is clouded by emotion right at the beginning, right? And so that becomes a problem for people.
For sure. I think from, you know, initially people trying to figure out, do I separate, do I not? And they wrestle with that. A lot of people wrestle with it for a very long time. Mm-hmm. To then the kind of the domino effect on every decision they're going to make afterwards, whether it's the kids, whether it's, do I sell the house? Do I accept an offer? Yeah. I mean, absolutely. They just have to make one after another.
Yeah. So there's this domino effect of all of these decisions that need to be made. And we all know that when you make a decision under the influence of heavy emotion or pressure, time pressure, let's say, and you make them hastily, you often make the wrong one, right?
Yeah, and then there's repercussions that flow from that, right? Because some of these decisions, once you make it and decide it, then you may have trouble going back, or there definitely be things that flow from the decisions you make.
Right. So our guest today is a guy who is really, he talks about the mind trap, and he actually invented a game called Mind Trap, which a lot of our listeners will remember and have probably played around the dining room table with friends and family or at the cottage. Mind Trap is a game full of, you know, mind conundrums, puzzles. And, you know, that's what we're going through when we're going into separation and divorce. You know, people don't know what they don't know, and it's a puzzle. And Richard Fast is our guest. He is the guy that invented Mind Trap, and he's written a book called The Challenge of Choice. And he's here with us today to talk about why it is we struggle with decision making and what goes into really making a good decision. Richard, welcome to the Divorce Solutions Podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you invented the game Mind Trap a long, long time ago. It's a fabulous game because it's simple. It's a box full of cards that have conundrums on them. And you must have found it fascinating to go through the process of deciding which questions and which puzzles were going to go into that game.
Oh, yes, indeed. And you know, the thing I really had to wrestle with is, if I was to ask you a conundrum, okay, and you said, well, it could be this or it could be that. Well, that would be a question you'd toss out. There has to be one and only one answer. Otherwise, it's just, there's nothing to it, right? It's anybody's guess is as good as the next.
Right. That's our black and white thinking, right?
That's exactly it. So I had to come up with, yeah, if there's a solution, it has to be one. And of course, you banter back and forth and say, could it be this? Could it be that? Yes, you're close, or whatever it was. But really, that was the biggest challenge, is that you had to look at it from every angle possible and say, nope, there is absolutely no other answer other than this one. And then that makes it a good question, because then when you hear the answer, you go, oh, shit, I should have got that. Okay, yeah. So that was legit. So that was kind of the fun of the game.
Yeah. And so we, you know, people that are going through separation and divorce often come into it with a great deal of bias. So their biases are based on their experiences in life, sometimes their culture, sometimes what family and friends have told them or how they grew up. We all have them. But, you know, Tracy and I argue, well, we don't argue, we tend to agree, actually, in our podcast about how important it is that people really kind of stop and think things through before they make all these decisions that Tracy talked about earlier in the program that have become a bit of a domino effect. So Richard, the difficulty that people have in, you know, making good decisions when they have so many to make is that they've got these sort of they've got biases of all kinds, and that makes it very difficult. But it also makes it that much more important to stop and really think things through. And that's where your book, The Challenge of Choice, comes in, because you talk about how often flawed our approach to decision making is. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor that I learned, and I wrote this book because I have enjoyed some colossal success and some unbelievable failure. And so I went back to kind of figure out, is this, you know, what happened? Why did I make such horrible decisions? And after years of research, what I, you know, really concluded was that we confuse feeling right with being right. And that is, it's a very difficult thing to do, because when you make a decision and it just feels right, why would you question it? Well, the fact is, it's just what you said. Our decisions are so clouded with biases and heuristics and false beliefs, assumptions, but we don't realize it because it feels right. And that's the challenge. So, I mean, if something feels right, why would you question it? Well, that's when you should question it.
So what does that mean in terms of, let me ask you, in terms of, I think, the initial decision that people make and they struggle, you know, I see people that have struggled for months and months and months trying to figure out whether they should separate or not. So does that mean, if I sort of translate it, that just because they one day feel like that's the right thing to do, maybe they shouldn't proceed yet? There's other steps they should take?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Okay, so we make millions of decisions, or certainly hundreds of thousands in our lifetime, but there's really only about 10 that will really define our lives. I can't think of one bigger than going through, you know, should I separate, should I divorce, or those kinds of things. There is no bigger decision, because the tentacles, you know, to in-laws, to friends and kids and finances, I mean, the tentacles are limitless. So it becomes one of those life-defining decisions. Now, how do you go about making that? Well, that's the big challenge. And the fact is, there is a way. I found how to do this through something I wrote called The Challenge of Choice, which is, you know, the book. But in that book is something called The 7 Steps to the Anatomy of a Good Decision. And it walks you through the process of how to make a good decision. Now, believe me, until I actually tested this, I thought, well, you can't do that, because how do you know if your decision is good until you know the outcome? But in fact, you can make a good decision and know it was a good decision before you know the outcome. And that is why I had to write this book, because I found that it actually does work. Now, to answer your question very quickly, is that if you don't go through that a decision-making process, and this is backed up by some other companies as well, if you don't go through that process to actually make that decision objectively, you virtually eliminate any chance of making a good decision.
So how do you know when you're being objective?
Okay. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I wrote The Challenge of Choice twice. The first time I wrote The Challenge of Choice, I was giving a talk in Niagara on the Lake. And after I finished my presentation, which was about 30 minutes, a woman said to me, okay, Richard, so how do you actually go about making a good decision with certainty? And I said to her, well, you know, what you got to do is kind of go through my book and check off some biases and heuristics and things like that. And if you can check them all off, you'll make a good decision. Well, she looked at me like, what are you peddling here? This is crap. And you know what? I knew she was right. I mean, she didn't say anything, but there was the look. And so for the next, I'd say, 6 months, it bothered the hell out of me, and it should have. And I finally decided, look, either chuck this thing in the garbage or actually come up with a solution that really works. And you got to know in your heart of heart that it works. So I went back and I kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And I finally came up with the 7 steps to the anatomy of a good decision. Now, How do I know it works? Well, first of all, as an author, you're God. So I created scenarios and I thought, okay, so this person's going to make one of those life decisions. And I already knew what the answer was going to be. But as I went through step one, step two, step three, all of a sudden, I came up with an answer that would never was on my radar, never even occurred to me. And when I went through the final seven steps, I knew it was a good decision, and I tried it again, and I tried it again. And every time I came up with a scenario, the key was, when I got to step three or four, I always came up with something that was completely out of left field. And that was how I started piecing together the anatomy of a good decision. And so I can say now with 100% confidence, not just from my own experience, because believe me, I've used this, but I know that you can make this decision with 100% certainty before you know the outcome.
What do you make of that, Tracy Miller?
You know, I was just going to go back to something you said about the gravity of the decision when people separate. And I think that it was really important when you said that because, you know, no bigger decision for people, that it's a life defining decision. And I think some people miss that. I think it's really important for people to realize the magnitude of that decision. And you shouldn't get rushed into making it, right? You shouldn't.
And I'm going at this, just to be clear, I'm going beyond even that. I'm going beyond the decision to, you know, to separate from your partner. I'm thinking about all of the decisions that come immediately following that one, you know, that you referred to sort of as a domino effect earlier in the podcast, which is so true. It's funny. You make that first big one. Okay. I want to separate from my partner. Then it becomes, well, you know, now what do I have to decide about the house? What do I have to decide about the finances? What do I have to decide about the kids? What do I have to decide about the way I'm going to tell everybody? On and on and on. It's just a flood of those decisions, right?
And if people don't have a process, if they don't have a way of making decisions that they're going to be able to live with and move forward, because usually one decision is going to build on the next one. Yeah, you can see people that are in limbo and then they constantly go back and kind of relive every decision. So I'm assuming that part of this system process that you have means you don't have to go back and second guess every decision you ever make. Was that right? Was it not?
Richard?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Tracy. And the thing is, like, in talking about divorce, this is really a two-headed coin. Here's the thing. Okay, so let's just say that the anatomy of a good decision really works. But so what am I saying? You're on your own? No. You ultimately cannot have anyone else make that ultimate decision for you, but you need someone to help you to keep guiding you toward it, that keeps pushing you to continue exploring how you're going to make this decision. So it is a two-part process, but ultimately, this decision has to be yours because nobody really knows your true feelings. Nobody really knows what all the intricacies are. But you need that outside person to work with you to keep asking the right questions. And then you go back and you ponder it because this is just something you can't take lightly. And if you work through it, it's going to make all the difference in the world. And so many people are affected by it. But just having that knowing, I can't imagine a better feeling than knowing, okay, you know what? I know I made this good decision and you don't have to sit around for the outcome.
What do you make of that, Tracy? I think you counsel people all the time. I do too in my practice to take a breath and slow down their thought process. What do you think about what Richard's saying there? Are you buying it or does it sound like bullshit?
No, I think that... You know, you see people that agonize over decisions, whether it's separating or whether it's, I just did a deal the other day and then you get buyer's remorse the next day and you get somebody that looks at the deal and comes back and wants to change all of this stuff. And you think, you know, you really have to make these decisions with a clear head and have a process that, you know, you're not going to have to second guess it or you're just going to be tortured every decision you make.
Yeah. Richard, I know that your stuff is solid because I've read the book. I've tried the processes myself, and nobody in this room needed that more than I did, quite frankly, because I was the original hasty decision man. Mostly, and I think a lot of people listening can relate to this too, who are going through this, is mostly because I just wanted it all over with. I more than anything, I had this on, you know, you're in an uncomfortable position. This isn't fun going through separation. So you want it done and dusted and you want it over quick. And, you know, Tracy and I've talked a lot about that on the podcast, that nothing moves as fast as we want it to. But therein lies another driving force between making, that can lead you to make a poor decision, right?
Totally. You know, without getting into the nitty gritty of this thing, I'm just going to share with you what the first step is. And here's the first step to the anatomy of a good decision. If you cannot say, I don't have a favored horse in the race, in other words, I already have a pet decision that I'm really leaning toward, you've already eliminated yourself from making a good decision because your biases and everything else will push you in that direction. So the first thing you have to say is, okay, I'm open to all possibilities. If you can say that in your heart of hearts, you're now ready to move to step two. And that's where you're going to need somebody to help you. Somebody to say, look, you've got to step back. You've got to flush out all that subjective feeling. You've got to look at this thing with an open mind. And if you can say, finally, yes, I'm good with that. Okay, now you start moving on. But that is just like one example of the first example of how critical it is that you've got to get your head straight. You've got to distance yourself, because as long as you're tied up with feelings, I can promise you, you're not going to make a good decision.
There you go. Tracy Miller, last word to you.
I'm just wondering, in terms of what would you say to people that look on the internet and they look on social media and they get friends' opinions, and when they're trying to make a decision and talk to other people that have been separated, that, you know, here's my bias, that may not know what they're talking about. What would you say to them in terms of how they should make decisions?
It's a great question.
Yes, it is. Look, nobody, especially in a situation like this, nobody really knows. And I'm going to suggest that you, not meaning you, but the person involved, you really don't know what you want. And that's what I've always found when I was making a good decision. It was only after I was going through the process that I suddenly realized, you know what? What I thought I wanted isn't actually what I wanted at all. And it never failed. And that's why you have to go through this process, and nobody else can give you necessary, they can give you advice and you have to listen to it, but only much later on. You really gotta work with somebody like you guys to remain objective, but somebody that knows how to push you to make those deep decisions, because they are never what we first think they are.
Right. And that's the key, is taking a little bit of time and a little bit of breathing space. And I agree with you, Richard, that at least in my practice, I don't know whether you agree with this, Tracy, it's like, you know, sit and think about what you really want with your life going forward. Don't be sitting there thinking about the marriage that didn't work out, or what didn't happen in the last relationship. That's over now. You're moving forward. So focus on what it is you want for yourself, your career, your children, your financial future, all of those things, your health, right, Tracy?
Yeah. And it's interesting because it just made me think, one of the reasons that doing mediation works is it's a facilitated discussion, right? You have people coming in that maybe have an idea of what they want. Maybe they don't. Maybe they've had legal, but that's the beauty of it, because you really do see people that they end up with a solution that they didn't think of coming in.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Richard, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like to make contact with you?
RichardFast.com.
It's easy.
So lots of stuff there. And and you know, Jamie, you've seen the anatomy. Between you and the anatomy, I can't imagine someone not coming to a good decision. And I mean that most sincerely.
Thanks a lot. And over to you too. We got a mutual admiration society, Tracy, same with you. Even when you're practicing as a lawyer, you have an uncanny empathetic, humanistic approach to your clients that I know firsthand because you were my lawyer part of the process that I went through. You and I were lawyer and client. Yeah. I know that firsthand, so I can say that with legitimacy, but it makes a huge difference. So, I think as professionals, we've got to continue to push for that and keep the thing human, so that we can get better resolutions or help people come up with better resolutions. Right.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. And it's certainly a fascinating area to work in. You know, if you can really make a difference for people, which is, I'm sure, why we all do it.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to do the disclaimer today, the legal stuff, since you're the lawyer?
I can. And, you know, I'm going to have to wing it because I didn't have it sitting here in front of me. So,
Well, I can do it then if you want. It's easy for me to do. Do you want to wing it? You're a lawyer. You should be able to wing this stuff, right?
Well, let's give it a go, right?
Okay. All right.
Okay, here's the disclaimer on this. As we have mentioned on every podcast, this purpose of this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. We are not giving you legal, accounting, or therapeutic advice. And we strongly suggest that you talk to your own lawyer, your own accountant, or your own therapist to get the help you need to go through this process.
Right, because they know the particular facts of your situation. No, well done.
Thank you.
Excellent ad-libbing.
Thinking on my feet. Look at that.
Honestly, you'll be ready for the Shaw Festival stage or perhaps Stratford or something.
You never know.
Good memorization of lines. Tracy, how do people get a hold of you?
It's Miller Law and Mediation. You can find me on the net. And it's Tracy at Miller-law.ca if you want to email me.
All right. jwest@westpromediation.com. And you can visit westpromediation.com at your leisure. Richard, a pleasure to have you on. Hopefully we'll have you back again soon. Thanks for all of your insight today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
my
thanks.
Pleasure.
All right. And Tracy, as always, thanks. We'll catch up to you on the next episode. Thanks everybody for listening. Take care, guys.
Talk to you later.